Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about our story. This is a series of books for kids, including fourth graders, right? But it's really for kids between 8 to 12. And this is about taking kids around the world, learning about these leaders that we may not actually even remember from our history books, I'm just saying. So we have co-founder Fahad Siddiqui here with us. And Fahad, you're actually in Brazil, right, today?
Correct. Yeah, I'm based out of Brazil. Nice, and it's summertime over here down south.
Oh, wow.
So it's very nice.
I'm just a little jealous. It's a little cold up in the Northwest right now, so of the United States. But actually, our story is based in England as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, the majority of the team is there, and we started it there. So, yeah, we operate out of the UK primarily.
Okay, awesome. So these are books that can be people can get digitally, but they're actual storybooks and they're colorful. They're beautiful books, and I love the illustrations. But you're focusing on people that we really I don't know if we had them all in our school books. I might have because I was raised in Africa, so I don't know. I might have had them more than you'd get them here.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, myself, my co-founders, we all were born and raised in the UK, and you know, the UK education system is revered globally. However, when we heard about these individuals, a lot of us were surprised. We hadn't heard of them before, and it was quite confusing considering the level of education we were afforded to not know about such influential people from around the world. And Mansa Musa was the first person who was brought to our attention, and he happens to be the richest person that's ever lived. And that kind of shocked me, because at this point in my life, I'd already went to university, the London School of Economics. So money is, you know, something that everyone talked about there. And then I started my own company and I was in the business world. So influential business people were kind of my area of interest, and not hearing, being in a position to have never heard of a man like Mansa Musa was quite shocking to me personally. And so we decided that I can't be the only one. We actually started asking other people if they'd heard of him, and the vast majority of the responses were no. And learning that his wealth was the equivalent today of twice what Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk has, if you adjust it for inflation, was shocking. And he is a man from Africa in Mali in the 14th century. And so we decided that this information needs to get out there. And it sent us down a rabbit hole of discovering a whole plethora of other individuals throughout history and across the world who've done similarly, who've achieved similar greatness. Aside from wealth, the next woman, Fatima al-Fairi, is the other book you have there. She actually started the world's first university in the world in Morocco, which is still standing today. And it was a high level educational institution founded by a female. So, you know, that storyline, that narrative is very impressive in today's day and age. And she happened to be a refugee as well. So all of these things have occurred, and it's a shame that we're not really embracing those stories and using them for our collective good, and instead kind of allowing media to direct what we understand or know, and education systems that have their own flaws. So yeah, this series specifically focuses on this global citizenship concept. And especially today, where, you know, everyone's online, especially the young, they're playing video games with people from all over the world, and not knowing much about that the country of origin of whoever they're playing with or connected with is kind of weird. So we think that there is a place in society for this information.
I love that, you know, he's from Mali, you know, because when I was reading about it, I'm like, this is so cool, because people don't realize. And, you know, we always talk that that's the mother continent, you know. I grew up there.
The motherland.
It just is, you know, in this country, in the States, we're banning books. And there's, you know, a lot of, you know, discussion, and I'm going to not just say just discussion. There's arguments going on around the country about, you know, curriculums and what's going in as textbooks. But I think what's great about you being independent is that you're independent. You know, parents and teachers can get these books from Amazon or bookshop.org. Everyone's really cool. And actually have access to these as they want or need, right? So that's a really good thing around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of twofold or threefold even in our approach, because we started this during the pandemic, essentially, with the concept. And then we launched just after the pandemic. And we made a conscious decision not to put this content in a screen format, because we'd seen what happened during the pandemic and how, you know, parents were kind of just left to leaving their kids behind the screen and hoping they'll figure things out and being quite scarred from that experience. So we wanted to create a physical product. And I know that you're also in the physical space with the parks and the promotion of all of those things. That physical interaction is necessary for humans, as our belief. We do have QR codes for people to do further learning outside of the book and on a screen, but the main experience is through the physical book, where we also have questions at the end, which are more, they encourage critical thinking more. They're not really the knowledge-based system of learning something off by heart and sitting the exam at the end of the year and that's it, pass fail. We're actually trying to get people to have real conversations between themselves and with their children. So with Mansa Musa, for example, part of one of the questions, the discussion topics at the end is, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it? And it allows children or people to be a bit more creative with their thinking and have real life conversations instead of just learning things off by heart for the exam and going for it. Because we think that these skill sets is what are lacking from the school education systems today, where we are in this knowledge-based ecosystem, but we're actually needing to shift to a more skills-based learning approach. And one of those skills is global citizenship. The others are life skills and, you know, practical skills. And, you know, when we go to school, we don't get taught anything about how to really live in the real world, you know, buying a house or renting a house, managing money, having a family, being healthy. None of those things get
Well, I
taught
think we're all
really.
starting to learn how politics works these days. I mean, that I think we should be being, taught a little bit more about that. But you're really right. I mean, I think about when I was in school, you were not allowed to, use a calculator, and I learned like my 12 times table. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I knew all of that. And I went to an Indian school in Kenya, and man, I was taught like really quickly how to do money. And, it was good. And then I went to England, and quite frankly, at that time, it wasn't that great. They had things like up on the wall about how to spell doggy and kitty, and I was already at like dog cat, So it was this very interesting world going to. I went to what 16 schools in different places and learned a
Amazing.
lot. And then a lot of times you were just left there like, yeah, you memorize this and you're going, but why? But why? And if there's no discussion, what's the point? And some teachers were really good, some not, it is the way it is around the world with this.
It
It's
is.
not just one country, but I think this is important with what you've
For
got in there.
sure. We think so. I mean, we understand there's all types of teachers, but unfortunately, the system that they're stuck within in terms of what they have to learn, the metrics that they're measured on in terms of results, it's not really conducive to actually creating good and beneficial people at the end of it, the whole school process. So there's a lot, there's few private schools and these other institutions that do adopt this kind of learning or educational process, but it's not in the mainstream, and I think that's a shame, and that's why kids kind of don't like going to school or like not doing their homework, because it's not really stimulating, or people can't really see how it's going to help them in real world. What's the point of this is always something that comes up
That's when we
in
become
a school
brats
day.
in school. That's
It's
because
part of that,
we're
but all
bored.
if the Yeah, for sure. And if the school, in fact, encouraged these critical thinking components or teamwork elements more vigorously, I think that people or children would find school a bit more interesting and more useful than they do right now, where they just feel like they're just measured at the end of the year and that's it, a pass fail, how good they can memorize something. Obviously, there's space for specialization. If people want to be doctors or engineers, that you have to learn things very specifically, but general life skills and being a good member of society, I think those lessons are kind of lacking. And I think having broadening people's horizons and showing them these international figures that have achieved certain things across the world a long time ago, should, I think, open up the minds of the young and even the older people. We've had, you know, I've had friends of mine, parents, grandparents, everyone, you know, all kinds of people being very interested in this subject because it's fascinating. So for kids as well, like it's even more so because they're in that age of learning new things and experiencing what's out
there.
It's
a good age. I think that's why, you know, we talk about fourth graders. Today's fourth graders day. But I think every day is a fourth grader day, right? But you are in that mindset of your brain is in that excitement mode. I'm learning something. You're starting to think of what you're going to be when you grow up. You know what I mean? It's like, and who doesn't have those big lists of what, you know? And what I love about your books is not only do you have that, let's talk, let's have a discussion. So it's something maybe around the family table, which is something we're still also trying to promote more of in this country, is for family unity without maybe the phone. Well, let's talk about this, right? A book, the books are colorful. I think that's a huge deal because I don't know when you went to school, our textbooks were black and white. And that did not make us, I mean, then you just start coloring in and maybe you shouldn't be doing all that. But
so, yeah, the visuals of the book are very important to us. We actually have an amazing illustrator called Emmanuel Colburn, who's done the illustrations for both these books and the forthcoming book on Shen Kuo, who is a man from the Song Dynasty in China who actually discovered climate change and magnetic north. I had no idea.
What?
Similar to these others. Yeah. So he did these things. He's put those visuals together and has been led by my sister who studied fine art at Central St. Martin's in London. So the art component was very important to us because we understood that we're competing with the digital and we want to keep the engagement levels as high as possible with the kids, and everyone's been super complimentary of the visual side. So I think we've done an okay job there.
Oh, I think so. I love the colors, you know, because it is vibrant and it's like, ooh. And the other part of it that I want to talk about the pronunciation section, which is really important because I think for me, it's terrible because I give everyone their own language now because it's like, is it Fatima, Fatima? You know what? Okay. So it's like, but I think that again goes into discussion of why, because, you know, everybody has a different accent too, according to names and things like that. So I love that you have that part. But you and a glossary, but you have activities, and that means cool. We get to be creative. And I think some kids are very hands on, and some kids are more like, just leave me with my book, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It depends on the kid. But the cool thing about the activity section is not only the discussion topics, but also there's let's make as well, which allows actual physical creativity. Activity of putting something together, whether it's a Moroccan lantern or something related to Africa or something related to China. We try to immerse the readers into the culture in some way, shape or form, whether it's the pronunciation guides or this exposure to the pronunciations of words. I think it helps broaden people's minds, especially kids, into what's possible and how one word could be said in another way. They may not have had that kind of exposure as much when they're younger, but having, you know, the QR code, which takes you to our website and you can press play and learn how those words are said in those regions, is a cool little feature that we think is all part of the global citizenship mission that we're on.
So one thing I really want to touch on that I love this is that you've also partnered with CamFed, and everyone, the website is ourstory.media. Everything's linked in the show notes, no matter whether you're watching or listening this, like on Spotify or all those places. But ourstory.media is the place to go. But tell us about CamFed, because I think this is something super important for people to know about.
Yeah, CamFed are a great organization. They're quite a big charity now. It's CamFed stands for Campaign for Female Education. So they work with a lot of underprivileged girls in Africa and providing access to education to them. And the coolest thing about CamFed for me personally is the fact that it's been running for around 40 years. And the people who are running it today, including the CEO, are actually people who used to be the girls who were educated by CamFed when it was set up. So there's a very clear understanding of what's going on the ground by the people at the top of the organization, which makes it quite unique for big charities. I've worked with a few before, smaller ones and bigger ones for different projects, and it's all have their pros and cons. But the fact that this is such a holistic organization that really understands the needs and necessities and what can it be, can work and not work on the ground is amazing. So we're working with them on their campaign for 1 million school days. So every book that we sell, we donate the equivalent of one day's worth of education for one of the girls who's underprivileged in Africa as part of their community. So if
That's
you buy the
huge.
book, you're also helping some of these girls. And we find that, you know, we're in the education space and there are lots of people who don't have access to education. They can't afford the fees or they can't afford the textbooks. And females, especially in developing countries, tend to be a bit more repressed in their ability to access those tools. So for us, it's a great cause to be a part of.
And they want to learn too. I mean, like I was saying, I was raised in South Africa and Kenya, and you know, just, you know, there's girls out in villages out in the middle of nowhere, and they will walk and walk and walk to go to school. And just even one day, like you're talking about, is the world to them. Education is crucial, but it's also letting them know that people do care, that they're not left out. Like someone is thinking about them, and that it is okay to get education, because there's also just cultural, you know, pullbacks on that as well that happens. So I love that you're doing this and shining the light on the importance of it as well. So ourstory.media is the website, but before you go, we want a little, you know, preview of what it was like to put all these together with you guys. You had to be sitting there going, look at this person, that person, and then to actually, you know, because you could go down a, like, the rabbit hole is big with this kind of thing. To me, that's why I do what I do, because I'm like that. It's like, yep. How many people do you think you're going to cover through this series?
So we have a short list, which is not that short, that we've got of close to 100 individuals that we know that have not been covered in majority of school education, and they've all done amazing things, from exploration to discoveries to inventions to all kinds of things from all over the world throughout history, that seem to, for whatever reason, not be in the limelight. So we would like to try and create as many books as possible on this series. We're actually also interested in covering civilizations, which is a work in progress to do for later in the year, because they also had huge impacts, and there's only certain civilizations that get touched upon in schools, not all of them. So, you know, we just learn really about the Greeks maybe, and the Vikings at best, and kind of there, but there's all kinds of civilizations that happen in South America, in Asia and Africa, that had an influence as well. But yeah, it's a very, very, but we're talking about whole of world history that we're aware of. So there's a lot to dig through. But we're keeping ourselves as grounded as possible, one step at one foot at a time. We started with the self story thing. We have another series called The Secret Alien Diaries, which is more about life skills and, you know, upcycling and teamwork and bedtime and kind of encouraging positive behaviors and habits. Yeah, which we'll be launching along with the Shen Kuo, the man from China that I mentioned earlier, later this in a couple of months. So yeah, the goal is to try and create educational resources that are lacking from the current education system that would actually be beneficial for kids to be as well-rounded as possible as they grow up.
I love it. Well, you got to stay in touch with us, man. We want to know more as you get these going out, because I want to read more of them.
You,
I was like, this is fun, because I think you've made it fun for the adults as well, because the adults are learning. And I think if we have more family unity, that's better. So cheers to you guys. This is awesome. So
thank you, Lisa.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.